Caduceus Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is Basic Principles of Disease and Healing, Part 2. And I have to give some credit to Alice Bailey because she's the founder of the Lucis Trust organization and she is the author of 24 volumes of literature. And the main inspiration for the dialogue that you'll hear on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought: all disease is the result of inhibited soul life, and that is true of all kingdoms, mineral, vegetable, animal, and human. All disease. That's quite a sweeping statement. Let's continue that further. I was dazzled by that last time, but I'm still not assimilating it.
Yes, it is a profound statement, and it has implications for all levels of life, not just the human. We talked last time about how all of us are part of a much greater life, which is our planet's life. And the great life that is manifesting through this planet is himself aspiring toward higher spiritual realization. And so there is that sense of imperfection that exists even on the level of God, in the sense that there is this aspiration to evolve even on his great level. Therefore, the friction and the inharmony set up by the disparity between aspiration and reality generates a situation that leads to disease on all levels of life, according to the writings of Alice Bailey. We also talked about how the illness that manifests in the physical body originates on more subtle levels. It's not just a problem of the body, the physical body, but has its cause, its origin on inner levels where energy and force is conducted. And for most people, that's through the emotional body, because most people are identified with or polarized within the astral emotional nature, what they feel and desire and long for and so on. It's said that the problems of the astral body group themselves around three major and extremely ancient diseases that subject countless human beings to their experience. One of these is tuberculosis. Another is what are called, rather euphemistically in the writings of Alice Bailey, the social diseases, meaning the venereal diseases and syphilis. And the third is cancer. Tuberculosis, syphilis, and cancer are three ancient illnesses that have their origin in the astral body. Maybe it would be interesting to talk about them today.
Yes, because there are still very diseases that are still very prevalent and still much with us today, and cancer in particular is still a very horrible disease that has a very ancient origin. But interestingly, in the books of Alice Bailey, it says that cancer has a link or a cause at the mental level. There is a mental cause with this disease, and that is brought about by the ancient formula that energy follows thought, and thoughts are things, and are the magnetic type of energy that is attracted by our thoughts draws cells and atoms to a certain location, and just by the very thought of our thinking process, I'm trying to say here, and this tends to create points of friction resulting in tumors and growths and cancers.
But aren't you saying that if we have bad thoughts or think about or worry about certain areas of our body, we're going to develop cancer? I would have been long dead long ago. I'm always obsessing over some growth or another that might
be. Well, it may not lead to a cancer, but it may lead to some kind of an imbalance or a tumor of some kind. Or because if particularly if our thoughts are directed towards a particular area of the body, the physical body in particular, then energy is going to be drawn to that point because, as I said, energy follows in the direction of thought.
Well, then I don't understand why I'm still living because a lot of the time I'm worried about conditions or problems that surely would have manifested in a fatal illness long ago if my thinking were that powerful.
Well, maybe your thinking isn't that powerful.
Maybe not, or maybe that's the saving grace.
And maybe it's
thank God for that.
The defenses of the body that is warding off or battling these tendencies, and maybe your karma just doesn't call for a this type of condition to lead to cancer.
Well, the writings of Alice Bailey give some historical background on these illnesses that's fascinating. She says that cancer originated in the Atlantean age. Maybe some of our listeners have heard of Atlantis, and apparently, according to the Ageless Wisdom, that was a civilization that I think finally phased itself out about 10,000 years ago. And in that epoch, which went on for millennia, the development of the emotional desire nature was the focus of human beings. And she says that cancer is a disease of inhibition. So maybe this is where your comment about mental inhibition arises, because prior to the age of Atlantis, there was an age called the Lemurian Age, which was a time of early man who was almost completely fixated or polarized in his sexual being. And that led to widespread promiscuity of the lowest sort. We're talking about a very early species of human beings.
That's at the time when physical body was the object of development, and there wasn't...
The life force was driving the promiscuity,
that's,
probably?
Well, it led to a lot of promiscuity, and because the emphasis at that time was on the physical body. It wasn't the emotional nature, and the mind wasn't that developed at all. And because those aspects of our human life came later, you know, in the Atlantean stage, the emotional body, the solar plexus and the emotional nature was the focus of attention. And today in our modern life, the mental aspect of the mind is also the focus.
Well, it's beginning to develop,
right,
wouldn't you say?
And so the purely physical emphasis and the physical development that was prevalent during the Lemurian stage, all of that should be pushed below the level of consciousness now and beginning to phase out.
But she says that the disease associated with that overabundance of the life force that led to promiscuity was the origin of venereal disease, which is ancient in humanity, syphilis and so on. And that out of the desire to correct that condition, the inhibiting factor of the gradually awakening mind in Atlantis led to cancer. Whether or not these strike a chord of intuitive recognition in people is really up to the individual, but it helps us to see the sweep of the plan and how we are dealing with diseases that have been around for a very long time. Tuberculosis, she says, is the most modern of these three illnesses, and it's a disease of depletion. She says that just as the light of the soul, or of which the sun is the symbol, pouring into the mind can solve any problem, so sunlight can dispel tuberculosis, because it's a disease of the mentally polarized individual, basically generalizing wildly. So I find the fact that these three ancient illnesses are still around today and in some respects having a resurgence. I think syphilis has again become a more noticeable problem, and tuberculosis has shown a new defiance to treatments that did work for a long time.
I think these are diseases that have resurfaced again for reasons to eventually to finally stamp them out, because much of tuberculosis, we do know how to treat that now, mm-hmm. and it is treatable, and it isn't that such.
And syphilis, too.
Syphilis, too. It is a treatable disease, and this is all to the good, because maybe that's why they have come up again to the surface to be dealt with, because they need to be wiped from the very earth from which they originated.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic for today is Basic Principles of Disease and Healing, Part 2. And we have a nice offer for you today. If you'd like to explore this particular topic in greater depth, you can purchase the book by Alice Bailey. It's called Esoteric Healing. And if you mention that you heard the book advertised on Inner Sight, we'll give you free shipping. But you do have to mention that you heard it on Inner Sight. If you would like the book, just send a check for $22 or a money order for $22 to Lucis Publishing Company. Make it out to Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing Company. And send the check or money order off to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, that would be a $22 check or money order. Made out to Lucis Publishing Company, and send it to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And we'd also like you to continue your support. You've made it possible for us to stay on the air, and we'd like to remain on the air, as many of you would like us to do. And if you'd like to give us some help, we certainly can use it to help pay for these radio shows. Send your donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, donations can be sent to Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. This topic I would like to listen to for a very long time, and I think I'm going to read that book myself, Esoteric Healing. I'm looking forward to it. To my own exploration of this topic in greater depth. But let's see if we can continue doing what we can do in the short time that we have. What else do you have to say about this, Sarah, Dale?
Well, she follows up in Esoteric Healing with her discussion of syphilis, tuberculosis, and cancer as the three major illnesses that are sort of inherent in the substance of our planet, and therefore we are all, in a sense, prone to them, with the mention also increasingly of heart disease, which we can see developing in Western nations in particular, and diseases of the nervous system. And it seems to me that those are probably going to become more prominent because we are all subject to more and more strain upon our sensitivities, our ability to cope with a great deal of impression and contact. Life is much faster. There's a great deal more that people have to deal with, and the pace is being stepped up. And I think illnesses such as heart disease and nervous disorders are a reaction to that. All of this, I think, is meant to imply that we have to find some way to live in the world at whatever age we are incarnated, with a way that is balanced. And does not overstress our system for whatever level of evolution we occupy ourselves, to not overstress our system and to not at the same time understress it. I mean, there are diseases that are expressions of a lack of vitality, just as there are diseases that are a reaction to overstimulation. So balance seems to be the key. And when you think about the word dis-ease, it implies in its very name a lack of balance.
Yes, it goes back to that very ancient rule to find the middle path, you know, of the Buddha. And that's the same, the middle path between excesses, whether excess overstimulation or excess understimulation or insufficient stimulation. So it's finding that right balance in between these two extremes. And it's interesting in relation to heart disease, for example. It seems to be a disease that's becoming more and more prevalent today. And that's probably likely because a lot of these energies that are in the coming through the solar plexus region, you know, the emotional nature and the is all of that energy is being lifted up to the heart center. And this is meant to be. I mean, this is because it says eventually diseases like the syphilitic diseases and tuberculosis will eventually be stamped out as human consciousness is lifted to the higher centers. And this is really the objective and the goal for humanity, is to begin to operate more in the higher centers, from the heart center and the throat center and the head centers. And the stimulation of the lower centers below the diaphragm, the solar plexus, and below that in the sacral center would begin to phase out and become less important. And so that's one of the reasons why heart disease is more prevalent today, because a lot of that emotional energy of the solar plexus is being lifted up to the heart center, and it's becoming more stimulated and therefore more problems related to the heart.
I think what you're saying is that some of this expression or manifestation of disease is kind of inevitable in evolution and, in a sense, normal. I think there's a tendency among a lot of well-meaning people to think that perfect health should be the goal. And certainly we'd all like to remain healthy for as long as possible. Nobody wants to be ill. But anybody on the evolutionary path is undergoing a process that goes against the grain, you could say. It goes against the inertia of the physical body and the totally material focus of consciousness. And that sets up stresses that create friction, that manifest through congestion and pain and disease. And yet, ultimately, it's leading to evolution, to upliftment. So while we don't welcome disease, we shouldn't see it as a sign of failure. Sometimes it's a manifestation of growth and something that we go through on the way to a better level of life.
Yes, disease is used, I think, as we mentioned before, that it's a way of working through some karmic problem that existed in perhaps a previous life, and it's being brought over into this life, a certain condition we brought with us. It's in the very genes or in the very substance of our body, and so we can't escape it. And it's not meant to escape it, but we're here to deal with it and to bring it to a state of perfection or raise that substance to a higher vibrating level.
Yeah, there's a comment by Alice Bailey in Esoteric Healing that says that sometimes disease, when it works out in the manifestation of an undesirable physical condition, is actually the process of eliminating the problem. Because when it comes to a level of manifestation, a visible outer depiction, that's its final stage. So disease doesn't always result in death. It might be resulting in the alleviation of some subjective condition, some mishandling of energy on an inner level, that is being corrected. So if we find ourselves in a condition where we're dealing with a disease, maybe we can think about the goal we're heading toward, what we are trying to correct, what we are trying to readjust in ourselves, instead of just focusing on the fact that we're going through a very bad patch. And there's another comment by her that often disease results in the sweetening of the temperament. And I think we have noticed that among people who have passed through great illness. It does seem to soften or tenderize something in them. And maybe that's...
It gets back to this comment I think I made in the last show about energy follows thought. Because if we focus on the illness, on the physical illness, then that tends to exaggerate the illness, perhaps, because we are, by the very fact that we're focusing on this illness, on the disease, whether it's, say, a cancer, we may be even causing it to be worse, making it worse just by focusing on it and being so preoccupied with this disease. And if we could lift our focus away from that, then it would perhaps help the energies to flow a little more freely to a higher center.
Maybe that's what my friend meant. She was dealing with a severe illness, and I asked her how she was, and she said, "I'm fine. My body's very sick, but I'm fine." And that's a nice way of looking at it. On some level, everything was okay, and she was going through an awful patch.
The person was not sick. It's not ill.
She wasn't totally identified with her body, which was ill. She was more than her body, and maybe that's the point we all need to remember. We're far more than our body. We're much more than our physical appearance or our physical problems or our physical actions. We're an inner being. We're a soul. The soul goes on, even when the body is enduring illness, and sometimes death comes, and that's not a failure of the soul. It's utterly normal to die. Would we really want to inhabit the same body forever and ever? Amen. I wouldn't. I don't understand this current interest among a few people of freezing the body, cryogenics, so they can come and thaw it out and inhabit it again. Good grief.
That's what Walt Disney did.
I know. We give up the body in order to release a form that's no longer adequate to the soul's purposes. At some stage, the outer body no longer is an appropriate vehicle for the evolving soul consciousness. And that's what results in death. And disease is often a facilitator of the soul's purpose. We don't want it to come in an untimely way. But when it is timely, as we say, when it is the person's time, then it's right and good.
If you'd like to explore this topic in greater depth, you can read the book upon which this show is based, the show Basic Principles of Disease and Healing, and the book upon which it's based is an Alice Bailey book, Esoteric Healing. Ask for Esoteric Healing and write a check or money order, and it'll be for $22, and that's at a discount, by the way. And we handle the shipping for you. And you, in order to get the discount, you have to mention that you heard it advertised on Inner Sight. Send the money order to Lucis, money order or check to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's a $22 check or money order sent to Lucis Publishing Company, would be better. Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.